Hey guys, welcome to ANX Gamecast Level 8. I'm Unbiased Ann, and I'm here with Genesis and Mike B. How's it going, guys?
I'm doing grand.
Grand?
Yes, I'm trying out new words.
So, did you get like...
that toilet paper, that word of the day toilet paper?
Yeah.
So, you feel grand or you want a grand, so you're feeling like $1,000?
You know, we're going to go with that one. I like that one better.
All right, well, let me borrow a dollar.
It's in my other wallet? Why'd you knock my wallet on the ground?
Because it doesn't belong up here. This is a video game podcast. Anyway.
Dang it. Well, if it's got money in it, you may want it.
So anyway, what are we excited to talk about today?
Oh, man. I want to tell you about JoJo's a little bit.
JoJo's.
Bizarre Adventure.
I would say that's okay, but it's already been recorded.
What? I'm thinking Marvel versus DC. I'm real interested to hear what you guys have to say about that.
I don't have much. It's not much of a debate. It's not really close, but
oh, you didn't come prepared?
No, I don't need too much for this debate.
Oh, cause I'm a wreck you.
Oh, hey, you can try.
We will see. You will try too.
I guess the thing I'm curious to talk about or to hear about is the full Serial Experiments Lane review. See what y'all thought about that overall.
I got stuff about that.
All right. So, well, let's get in our social media plugs. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at ANX Gamecast. Email us at anxgamecenter@gmail.com with any helpful suggestions, tips, hints, clues, cheat codes, whatever you want to send us, send it there. So let's jump right into
round one.
Let's talk about what we're currently watching. So Mike, you said something about JoJo's.
Yes.
Bizarre Adventures.
Yeah. I'm watching the second season with Joseph Joestar. So, you know, with the JoJo series, you have like a whole, you know, family line type thing. Started with Jonathan Joestar, then it went to Joseph Joestar, then Jotaro. Anyway, I'm on the second season, want to rewatch it. And I was watching this one episode where they found some pillar guy. He's like an ancient caveman type deal, right? From way back in the past. And for whatever reason, they were trying to bring him back to life. They thought it would be a good idea after this one guy named Speedwagon was telling them, do not do this. This is a horrible idea. For whatever reason, they thought it was a good idea. Mm-hmm. They woke him up. Ends up he's some kind of weird vampire type creature guy.
That's usually how that works.
Exactly. And then it was just a big disaster.
Okay.
And a lot of people died.
So you said, what would you say, vampire?
Yeah, it's weird because like, so if you recall, you know D.L. Brando, you know, the one guy, you know, yellow hair and everything. I know you've seen him in the pictures and stuff. So,
you know, that guy.
He's a vampire. He's a vampire and he like sucks your blood out by like impaling you with his hands.
Okay.
What the world?
And so apparently the...
That sounds like a lazy vampire.
Yeah, exactly.
You need it's to like, bite man, with your teeth.
Right.
Like, man, I don't feel like biting, man. I'm just stabbing with my fingers, you know? So anyway, this dude... So apparently these vampires were made from this thing called the Stone Mask. And the Stone Mask were made by the Pillar Man, the ancient dude that they found, right? Mm-hmm. And so those guys make the Pillar Men. The Pillar Men make these masks to put on human beings in order to turn them into vampires, and then they actually eat them.
So then now they're mass producing vampires and creating their dinner out of it.
Exactly.
Just lazy.
Mass produce, make a killing.
And
hey.
Oh, hey. One of the reasons why I had to go back and watch this episode was because there's a character named Ultimate Cars. And I was wondering, how would a fight go between Ultimate Cars, the Pillar Man, the guy who eats the vampires, mm-hmm. versus Dio, the guy who can make these spirit creatures, you know?
So let me ask you about these vampires and these bad guys. Mm-hmm. Are they also dressed in magenta Armani suits? with big earrings and lipstick.
I know this is weird because every picture I've seen of anything with JoJo seems like not with vampires.
Oh, trust me, there's like the first half of it was vampires, like the first two seasons. Then the rest of the series was like spiritual energy, like stands, like these creatures, like these spirits that come behind you with special abilities.
And so, they do stuff. When do they hit the runway? What are they in, like, New York Fashion Week and all that kind of good stuff too?
Okay, so do they
fight crime there too?
Okay, so we haven't seen that many vampires. I mean, we've seen Dio. He was the main vampire. But the Pillar Men, now those guys look like they go on a runway, I guess.
Okay. Because that's all I get from the commercials. I tried to watch it. Man, I tried.
At least you gave it a good old college try, right?
I tried, but I just can't do it.
Hey, man, you know, all you got to do is just get past the fashion, how they look, you know, and the whole lipstick thing, man, you know, that's just like the shade, like the coloring, like, you know, like how you have shade, right? You know, I'm just making up stuff right now, but yeah, I hope that's what it is.
I mean, if your name is not Frieza, I can't get what you're wearing lipstick.
Well, how come it's okay for Frieza, but it's not okay for the JoJo's character?
Because he's an alien. He just looks like that. He's just born that way. He woke up like that.
Yeah,
he can't help it. He doesn't wake up and put lipstick on.
Like, no, but these guys didn't just put on lipstick either. They were born like that.
No.
I said, it's the shading of how the sun hits their lips, man. That's all it is.
With red blush. And
no, man, I'm telling you, man, probably somebody tried to suffocate them. And then, you know, when the sun hit the lips, it looked like, you know, they had blue lipstick on or something. But no, he was just suffocating. Nobody didn't try to help him. You know, I was saying, hey, Mayday, but nobody jumped in to help him.
All right. Well, speaking of Frieza and your over 9,000 Vegeta shirt that you have on.
Oh, yeah. You know, I got to represent.
You know, I'm still currently watching Dragon Ball Z Kai. Now, just to recap for everyone. I actually missed back in the day a lot of the Buu Saga.
Oh, so really?
This is the first time I'm ever actually seeing it. I've read about it and probably read some of the manga and all that, but actually watching the show. So once they came out with Dragon Ball Z Kai and it was, you know, the last chapters, I was like, oh, okay, this would be a good time to watch it. So at this point, Goku found Gohan, where he was with the Supreme Kais trying to train with the Z Sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're training, and then he broke it. Broke the Z Sword.
How you break the Z Sword?
So I don't know how they're supposed to fight Majin Buu now with no, you know, man-made sword. But anyway, also, Goten, Trunks trying to master the fusion technique.
Oh, man.
So they keep trying, and I don't know what those other versions are called, but like the fat Gotenks.
I think this is what it's called, Fat Gotenks and Skinny One.
Yeah. And Skinny and Old and Frail Gotenks.
I like to call them the Sick and Wounded.
Yeah. So I guess I wouldn't mind seeing Fat Boo versus Fat Gotenks, but we didn't see it. And actually, they finally got it correct. And he went out and got whooped by Boo.
Yeah. That makes sense, too.
Yeah. So that's...
They're just children.
Just kids.
Yeah.
And he got the beat down.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, what, these kids have been alive for how long? And you have Boo that's been around for forever?
Yeah.
So, man, hey.
So Boo's been around longer than these other little kids?
Yep.
What is it like? I believe that the guy, what is it, Bibbidi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Bibbidi and Bobbidi.
Well, I have a question. Did Bibbidi? Yeah, that's actually how it goes, too.
Bibbidi, Bobbidi, Boo.
That's how it goes.
I have a question. Did Bibbidi make Majin Boo? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Because that's all I was wondering. I was like, did he make him or did Boo already exist?
I know he trapped him inside of that deal.
Yeah. And then
to control him.
And he controlled him. Then he used them to basically take over galaxies or universes or something like that.
Papa da papa.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, I don't know why somebody didn't like straight blast them, you know.
I don't know.
While they were sitting there trying to do the incantations and whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, though.
Didn't Mike say that last time? You said that was like a whole nother discussion. Blast him to another planet or...
to another dimension.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
Just like how my Vegeta is doing right now in the shirt. He's sending Kui to another dimension.
It looks like he's just standing there.
Clenching his fist, or a fist.
Yeah, but that's what he did to Kui when he sent him to another dimension.
All right, so before we move on, we are watching... What is this? Injustice 2?
E-League.
Wait a minute.
Group A. Oh, World Championship.
So I think it's pretty old now, so this is done and over with, but it was still on the DVR, so we just threw it up there. What do we have here? Is this a Superman versus Batman? Everything I've seen so far has just been Batman versus Batman or Superman versus Superman.
Oh, no, this is Shazam right here. Not a Black Adam. My bad, Black Adam.
I don't know, but it goes right along with the debate that we're going to have later, DC versus Marvel.
Oh, yeah. DC is so cool, isn't it?
Not really.
What?
But anyway, so let's go ahead and jump right into...
Round two.
And let's talk about some trailer reviews. So, Mike, last episode, you were talking about some Lupin the Third and how great it is. So we decided to watch the Lupin the Third, Daisuke Jigen's Gravestone trailer. I think I'm pronouncing all of that correctly.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. So, actually, I want to start with unbiased Ann on this one.
Okay, well...
Oh.
I really wasn't sure how to rate it because it was in Japanese. So I just tried to be nice, and I gave it a 5.0. It probably would have been less if I was a little more honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
But... I wasn't really sure. It was just difficult to rate. The graphics, I honestly didn't think anything was good about it. The graphics looked really old. It reminded me of like a Saturday morning cartoon or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. But it did. It looked old, and I just inferred that I was watching some sort of crime show because they were running around, and the music sounded very Dragnet-ish, and they had guns.
They did have guns.
At least she remembers the guns.
Mm-hmm. So, is there anything that you liked about
Mm-mm.
it? Oh.
Dang.
No. Sorry.
Dang.
I wasn't feeling it at all.
Hey. You take your hands off of Lupin.
Even if it was in English, it just looked almost like a Morse. Oh, it was kind of reminding me of like Scooby-Doo, but not as cheesy.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it does. The animations does remind me of Scooby-Doo.
But even maybe like a Batman and Robin type mixed with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
The cartoon, you know?
The reason why it looks like that is because it used to be an old series. And so what they did was like they basically kind of redid the animation, but they still left the old school kind of look to it. So it's kind of like the old school feel, but just more modernized.
All right. So since you jumping in with the explanations,
Mike B,
what did you score that trailer?
Okay. So I'm not going to lie. Okay. Everything else did
Don't
good.
Lie, Mike. Don't do it.
But the only reason why the score is low doesn't make it bad though. But the only reason why the score was low was only because I can't read Japanese.
You can't?
No.
What?
Huh?
Yeah, man, you know, you would think I would know, right? Because I act like it, but nah, I don't. Nah.
Poser.
So I gave it a 6.4.
6.4, okay.
Like I said, the only problem I had with it was just the Japanese thing. Like some of the words they were saying in Japanese, I understood where I was like, oh, okay, they're announcing the characters and they announce like, okay, what's going on? If I was fluent in Japanese, I would feel like I can give more emphasis on like what was going on, but
obviously.
So I mean, we did look for the English dub trailer, but we couldn't find one. So,
but the trailer, I liked it though; it was pretty good. I've already seen the movie. I want you guys to see it too, and I want to see your opinion on what you think about it. But
he's up here selling, willing and dealing.
Oh yeah, you know, willing and dealing. You know, I already know it's for sure a winner. But the trailer though, I was like, man, I don't know what they're saying.
So the movie's in, it's subtitled?
No, it's actually in English. I don't know why we couldn't find the English one, but it's kind of like that with the there's another movie that came out for it, the second one that came out. Now I know that's in Japanese. I don't think they even put that on English yet. But yeah, so far in result 6.4. What do you think?
All right, so we got a 6.4, 5.0. That's what she gave it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, man, hey, man, I need your help. Just go ahead and give it that fresh 7.
All right.
Genesis.
Let me jump in here then.
I knew you were going to say 3. I was sitting there like, this dude is going to say 3. I know he is.
I was like, that's a really long pause. Okay. What's happening?
Like I sat here and I looked at him and I was like, I can read his thoughts right now. I literally could read your mind and it was... I'm going to give it a 3, Mike. You know what's coming.
Gave it a 3.6. I mean...
Like, that's a little generous, but man.
So, the graphics... I hate that art design. I don't like it at all. And so I was being generous by I gave the graphics a 7 because even though I didn't like the art design, the animations that I did see were clear and crisp. Okay. Mm-hmm. The sound was cool. Sound effects were cool. The music went with what was going on. Like I said, I feel like also it was some kind of detective show or something like that. So it went along with it. Story, whole thing was in Japanese. I have no idea what was going on. 0.
Dang.
Hype, 3.
Dang, you're not excited for it?
Well,
man.
I don't know what the story's about, and I don't like the way it's drawn. So it's like even a 3 on hype is being generous.
Oh, man. I mean, come on. I mean, it looked pretty cool. There were guns.
Yeah.
Guns, man.
Guns, okay.
Guns.
Mike, be tripping.
So in the info, I did see that the last scene showed
they put something up there.
Oh, it was all kind of something that, yeah, no, 0.
Hey man, see, you know what we should have done? We should have like used our cell phones to translate it.
No, what we should have done is just not. We could have saved that 30 seconds.
Dang, that's cold blooded.
We could have watched something else.
That's cold blooded.
So yeah, my overall score for that trailer was a 3.6.
I already knew you were going to give it a 3.
He's not as nice as I am.
But I forgot, you don't like the old school type deal with things. Like, you don't like when...
I don't like old.
Like anything old.
What if it goes past the 90s, then it's like, nope, ain't going to deal with it.
98 and up.
98 and up, huh?
For anime, I guess I can deal with some early 90s anime. Because late 90s anime got a lot of CG going on. And it wasn't perfected yet, and it wasn't very good. So anyway, the movie I chose to review for our trailer reviews today, Berserk, The Egg of the King.
Oh, yeah.
Mike B.
Mike B.
What you got?
I gave it a 9.
Dang.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I gave it a 9. I liked it. You know, I'm a big Berserk fan. And then seeing the music went with the trailer. The battle scenes were pretty cool. I was like, oh, shoot, okay.
Yeah.
I like that, you know. You know, of course, you know, the little bit of CG in there was kind of to me. I was like, I don't know, but.
Yeah, I did notice that too. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough for me to be like, I'm not really feeling that.
Yeah,
but
it's very noticeable.
Yeah, but clearly it wasn't taking over the whole movie, though.
Yeah, exactly. Because you saw, like, in certain scenes, it would go from, like, looking really neat, really good, to just, okay, all
right. Right.
So, you know, that's how I feel about it.
Unbiased Dan.
I gave it a 6.4. It wasn't bad. I really liked the music.
Yeah.
I thought the music was dope. And they did really well. They did well, like laying it out so that at key scenes, it was like right when the music, you know, did something, it like came together perfectly.
Right.
But the storyline wasn't bad, but it wasn't that interesting either to me. I feel like they put something together well, but it was very like medieval times-ish or appeared to be. So I was just like, I don't know. I'm not really interested in watching people ride on horses and kill people. And the graphics were pretty good. They weren't awesome, but they were good.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it a 6.4.
I have a question. Do you like wake up in the morning and you open up a bottle of hate and you drink it before you give these reviews?
I sure do, Mike.
Gosh.
I sure do.
It's that hater rage.
She's like, I can visually imagine her just like taking these trailers and just going berserk on them.
Hey, but I was nice on Loop in the third.
That you were, and I am very grateful for that too.
I gave it a 5.0. That was very generous.
She still slayed it though.
Right. So let me jump in.
Genesis.
Overall, gave it an 8.2. So the only low point I have for it is the info. There wasn't any info for this trailer to say where it was released or when it would be released or anything like that. So, yeah. Everything else, 9s and 10s for me. Same thing for the graphics. We talked about that. It didn't seem like the CGI was taking over, but it was there. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm just not a big fan of CGI in anime at all, period. The only thing I didn't like about the sound was that some of the voiceovers weren't great. It looked like some real serious scenes, and whoever was doing the voice acting for the girl in those scenes just really didn't do a good job capturing that moment. Maybe the rest of it is good, but just those key scenes that they shown that they showed on the trailer weren't very good. So 8.2 overall.
You want me to tell you something interesting? This kind of caught my attention. But you know, like how when they do that 3D kind of animation or so, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever seen The Amazing World of Gumball. You ever heard of it on Cartoon Network?
What?
Well,
the Amazing World of Gumball.
Uh huh.
No, you heard that? Well, I ain't even heard of it.
It's a show that's on Cartoon Network, and they do like a 2D base type thing, but they have like 3D models and stuff from time to times. And in there, it's not bad. Like they can do the 3D models and 3D characters, and to me, it doesn't ruin how everything looks. And that's how I kind of wish that some of these animes did, if they can get it around to that, to where the 2D look, because we clearly saw that it went from 2D to anime. Not 2D to like 3D
mm-hmm.
in the trailer. And it's like, man, it's like real noticeable.
So is this Gumball thing, is this like American made?
Yeah, it's American
made. So this, without even seeing it or knowing any, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. However, what I would say is 9 times out of 10, American animation looks horrible. So if you were to put some decent 3D models in there, it might actually enhance the graphics versus, you know, most of the anime that we watch already has really good graphics. So when you throw the 3D CGI models in, it just really dumbs it down, in my opinion.
No, you think so?
So, again, no hate towards Gumball. They do good work, especially if they want to come sponsor us. Love your show.
You know they did a Final Fantasy reference, right?
No.
It was cool. I got to show it to you. Hey, man, trust me. It's good, man. It's good.
Is it better than that Lupin the Third trailer we watched?
Hey. Lupin is what it is.
Oh, Lupin.
Okay. So.
Unbiased Dan.
Which one of these movies will we be reviewing on episode 12?
Okay. So let me just say this. Lupin the Third, even though the graphics were bad, I am usually more drawn to some sort of crime, but it also looked kind of cheesy. So, and I hear so much about Berserk, but I've never seen Berserk. Nothing. So I'm going to go with Berserk.
Hey! What are you saying R for?
You rated, gave it a 9.0.
You gave it the highest score out of everyone.
I wanted to see Lupin.
You just said you already saw it.
I know.
So.
Want to see it again with my friends.
What friends?
What? You mean we're not friends anymore?
Oh, you're talking about us. Oh.
Missed that one.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't be opposed to watching Lupin and at some other time and, you know, whatever, but for this purpose.
You can always take it back.
No take backs. I already did that once where I got all indecisive. Y'all were swaying me. So, Berserk.
Yes. Okay.
That's still a win.
Yeah, so we'll review Berserk, Egg of the King episode 12. Let's move on and get into round three.
Round three.
And let's talk about some serial experiments, Elaine. We finally finished it. All 13 episodes. Seems like it took forever.
Yeah.
But we did. And Mike B, we'll start with you because you seem earlier to be hyping. You were ready to talk about it. You were ready to go. So let's first start off with, what was your Lane trailer score?
Let's see here. My Lane trailer score was actually a 9.
Okay. So what did you end up rating the anime overall?
Overall, I gave the anime a 7.2.
What?
Yeah.
So you went from a 9 to a 7.2?
Yes.
Explain.
Okay. So here's my thing about it. So Lane is good, right? Is good. But it's so confusing. So confusing. Like, I feel the same as I did in the beginning as I do at the end. But yet at the same time, I feel like I've gained so much knowledge in the process. But yet I feel like I have not gone. Like, I'm still in the same spot. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, it's so weird. You know, it's like I was like, what's going on in this world? What's happening? They dropped all this knowledge on me, blew my mind, and I'm like, where am I at right now? Because they just kind of like dropped another whammy on me and stuff. So
what did you think about the ending? So that's a new thing that I put into our scoring for anime is the ending. So what did you think about the ending?
You know what? I feel like there was like a good moral or a good lesson there at the very end or something.
This is not the Cosby Show.
But... okay, so to me, I feel like I still don't know if they're truly in the Matrix or not. But whatever they're in or whatever reality they're in, I feel like Lane controls that. I feel like Lane is like the god of their universe of some sort.
So Lane isn't God. Lane is just the god of the Wired. Is that what you're saying?
You know what? That's the crazy thing about it. I'm kind of like, she may be in the Wired plus in real life. I'm not sure.
So you're confused. I guess that makes sense because I think somewhere in the last episode, Lane herself was still confused. I feel like that's how they started off the last episode, was showing her still being confused, not knowing really what's going on.
Yeah, you know, maybe the creator of it was like, you know what? Let me just draw how the people watching my anime are going to feel as soon as they get to the end, you know?
So let me go ahead and drop my score, then we can continue the conversation about the last three episodes.
Okay.
My trailer score was a 9.0.
Mm-hmm.
You said yours was a 9 too?
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay. My grand total ended up being a 9.08.
Oh, okay.
Getting real down technical with the numbers here.
See.
So mm-hmm. my score actually went up from the trailer. So the ending was weird, but I do agree. She's some sort of god. I don't know if she's god in the real world or just in the Wired. But basically what happened was she was trying to help her best friend that the Lane in the Wired, you know, spread all these rumors about her best friend, and she was all hurt by it. So she decided to erase everyone's memory of what happened, except for Alice, which is her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So that caused all kind of drama there because Alice still remembered her friends picking on her and being embarrassed. And everyone else was like, I don't, you know, we don't know what's going on. Like, mm-hmm. everything's like normal. So at the end, Lane did a full reset and deleted everyone's memory of Lane,
mm-hmm.
and seemed to reverse time to go back to before the beginning of episode 1.
So you're saying to me she deleted everybody's memory and then just hit the actual reset,
right?
Like on a computer.
Right. So let's talk about these computers. So my theory in general, I think I told you in another a previous podcast that I had an overall theory about what's going on mm-hmm. in Lane. When she hit that reset button, it just messed up my whole theory. Mm-hmm. But if you remember, when Alice finally made it to Lane's house in episode 12, mm-hmm. she tried to get in. Who was sitting there on the stairs? The sister.
Oh. Looking all out of it?
Yeah. And she was making those weird noises again. So here's my overall theory. I haven't read this anywhere. This is just me coming up with mm-hmm. craziness off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. They talked about how Lane is just software, mm-hmm. just an application. Well, usually with that, you need hardware to run those applications. Mm-hmm. Here in 2018, everyone uses tablets or phones. But back then, computers. Mm-hmm. Or what they call navvies. Cool. Well, what happened? As soon as they broke down the barrier between the wired and real world, mm-hmm. who left the house? Everyone. The whole family.
Everybody
they,
did.
They all kept going out.
They left. Mm-hmm. We're no longer needed here, Lane. We're leaving. Yeah. Right? Remember that?
When she hit reset, they did?
No.
Oh, yeah. I remember now. Like, at once... they got to that one point, it's like, okay.
They were like, it's soon now. It's about to happen.
Yeah, it's
right.
It's,
and then the dad and the mom started making out on the couch or hugging on the couch again. Mm-hmm. They were like, it's almost over now. Remember? Mm-hmm. Maybe episode 9 or something. I don't remember.
So wait, they mm-hmm. they knew she was about to reset?
No, they How knew they knew she was about to break down the barrier between
okay.
the wired and the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was the whole point of Lane.
Because I remember there are times where one of the characters start asking Lane, like, I don't know if he was a dude in the black suit who was sitting down in a chair, and he was asking her, like, have you even asked your parents, like, mm-hmm. how did they meet? Like, okay,
when's
like,
their do birthday you know what they're, and, yeah.
So it's kind of like, do you know anything about them? And then she starts freaking out and stuff, so.
So my whole theory that I'm about to tell you is based off Mika, the sister. Mm-hmm. What we saw in the last episode with her being on the stairs or episode 12, whatever episode it was, mm-hmm. with her being on the stairs, making those weird noises, and the episode where she was freaking out. Remember? Mm-hmm. And okay. I think Lane is software mm-hmm. and her family members are the hardware.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I don't know who's who. I don't know exactly what Mika represents, mm-hmm. but listen to this theory for a second. The episode where she was freaking out, mm-hmm. what happened to her?
She was walking, right. And then somebody spilled some Coca-Cola on her.
Somebody spilled something on her. Mm-hmm. Now, what do we know about computers?
Oh, yeah, you can't get them wet or yeah. you can't spill stuff mm-hmm. on them.
What's the main thing? As far as anyway, the past 15 years,
don't have like don't, beverages near your keyboard or computer,
right? Yeah. So even where we work, when I first started working there, like it was banned. Like you couldn't have drinks, especially in the training room, because mm-hmm. those computers just could not be messed up in a mm-hmm. live training environment. So someone spilled something on her, and she appeared to go crazy, or in my theory, malfunction. Mm-hmm. And what happened when she got home that day? There was another Mika already there walking around the house. And Lane was the only person that could see the old Mika. And it wasn't even a full picture of her. She was kind of digitized and kind of dissolving away.
Let me tell you something weird. You remember when once that stuff spilled on her sister, she starts seeing those things saying, fulfill the prophecy.
Right.
I'm like, was the prophecy to basically let Lane like upload her information or break the barrier? Like for her to I don't know. Like was her whole fulfill the prophecy just her purpose of letting Lane use her in order to get her task done? That's what I'm wondering.
Right. So if you watch episode 12, and it also happened in another episode where Mika, so in this episode, she's standing on the stairs making noises like a modem, mm-hmm. like an old dial-up modem. Like mm-hmm. she was the connection to The Wired, four lane. And then what happened? We all know the barrier was broken, and then she just disappeared while Alice was running through the house looking for Lane. Because, again, it's no longer needed. And which those powers were shown pretty clearly in that episode where, again, Alice knows that every... And here's the other thing that we got to talk about. Lane basically told Alice everything. And Alice is the only person who knows that Lane has these powers, and Lane goes back and forth between The Wired. And so while they're in class, Lane is staring at Alice and then sends her a text message or email without using her Navi, which just showed the power of Lane and what she can do.
And that's what I would have stood up and walked out that class and be like, oh, heck nah, I ain't dealing with this.
Yeah, that was creepy.
I ain't dealing with this, man. It's like, I mean, if somebody, I mean, what if your homeboy just sat there and just turned his head like, hey, what's up, dog? And then out of nowhere, you look at your phone and it says, what's happening? And you're like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to stay in there. You would get out.
So overall, again, I'm with you, Mike. It was a little bit too confusing. But again, I didn't let that ruin my score.
You want me to tell you what I think? Not to cut you off, but I, in all honesty, I believe the more you watch this, the better it gets.
Yeah, it's definitely something that if you watch it multiple times, you'll see something different and figure out something and make better sense of the information you know. I think it was made to be watched multiple times.
And because I honestly believe that if I were to watch this about two or three times, my score would go up significantly just because.
So where are the low points here? Where are the low points in your score?
The low points in my score are, let's get to it. I would say some of the characters were confusing to me. You know, I was kind of trying to like figuring out their significance and stuff and seeing like, okay, like where do they come in at? You know, like where do they fit in all of this? Where do they, you know, what, why are they there? Like,
what do they mean? What do they represent?
Exactly. That's where I'm getting at. So that was.
But what if they don't represent anything? What's wrong with the characters? Let's just say they don't have a double meaning or a double, you know, whatever. What, like.
Now, for me, that's something that's important to me, knowing like what the character's part they have in something or why are they there. Like, even with the other guys who were examining Lane, I'm kind of like, huh, they're. You know, interesting, but what's the point of them being there? I don't know what the heck is going on.
Well, they explained their part in it. And I think the problem with this show is it seems like there's an easy, basic answer to why someone is there, but then there's probably a deeper meaning to why they're there. But the guys in the suits, it was clear that they were there to stop the Knights and to stop whatever Lane was trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
But their boss is the one that was like, no, we're going to let this happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was their job. And they explained that, I think, in episode 11 where they died.
Mm-hmm.
11 or 12, they both died.
But like I said, I feel like if I probably would have watched it again, because I remember one time we had to go back and rewatch a couple of episodes. And just going back and watching it, I start picking up on a whole lot more stuff where I was like, oh, I didn't realize that the first time. Or, okay, like that, like this, that something pointed out to me that was so obvious that I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just if I were to watch it again, my score would probably be higher because I have a better understanding of stuff.
So give me another low point, because I think just the character development being low shouldn't drop the score that much. What you got? What else you got over there?
I would say, like, you know, I would just say some stuff that come with just being a little bit dated, I guess, to me, like with the ending theme, or I would say just like just the look of the art designer. So like, it was cool, but you know, it wasn't 100% for me, but it was all right though. You know, not too much of a gripe. I would just say one of my major points were just like the character and character development, you know, I guess that's my main thing about it.
So Unbiased Sam, what you got over there? I know you didn't officially score it.
I didn't like it at all.
Lane, you didn't like Lane at all?
No. There were parts of it that I liked, but overall, when it was all said and done, I just didn't like it. It was too, I guess it was too deep. And I agree with a lot of what Mike's saying. I felt the same way at the end that I did at the beginning. I was still completely unclear as to what was going on. It got too complicated for me. As soon as I thought I was starting to get it, something else would happen. And even though they told us who they were with the whole characters, I still don't quite understand who everybody was and what role they played. I agree with most of what Mike said.
So what part confused you the most, or what character did you not understand?
It wasn't just one specific character or even moment. It just, I hear what they're saying. She's an application. She's not hardware. And I understand what an application is, but I don't, it's confusing to me how she started off seemingly like a real person in the real world with all these people at school. And then she got all in this computer and things started getting real weird and her room looked insane. And she's sitting on the wet floor cover, like in like a nightgown, and she's talking to people. And there's these guys that there's so many virtual people. And then there's people, those guys that are following her. And then there's a guy that was asking her about her birthday. And then all of a sudden you're an application. You're not even real. Well, what do you mean she's not real? Like, she was talking to these people.
So there's a bunch of elements to put together, huh?
Right. It looked like this all developed over time, but then at the end it's like, no, but you're just an application. I don't get it. I cannot conceptualize in my head what this means.
Well, there was really no proof that she was just an application, because at the end, that was the whole point that Alice and Lane were trying to, Alice was proving that to Lane that, no, you're real. Like, I feel you, like you're here. And then Lane tried to explain that to the god, or the poser god, that was in the Wired. So that's the other thing we didn't touch on yet. The god, or the person calling themselves God, Lane pretty much said, well, no. If you're saying that this and this happened because you made it happen, well, what made you happen? So she pretty much just disproved that he was any sort of god.
But then how can she be real if she was able to erase everybody's memory? And where did she go? Oh, and then it was like she was just gone. Okay, so she was no longer in school anymore. But then she saw her on the street, and she was still little, and Alice was grown.
Right. So the main part you have to remember is not necessarily what people were saying, but what you read, which was the key thing that stuck out to me is what isn't remembered never happened. So in my opinion, Lane is God again, and she erased the memory of her. That's the other thing, again, we need to touch on, is what they were trying to explain is there really wasn't a different Lane inside of the Wired. It was a Lane that you perceive to be Lane. So it's the memories and thoughts of Lane that you have in your mind is what they were actually seeing. It wasn't actually her doing anything. It was, okay, this is, you know, for an example, let's just say you take everything you know about Hitler, and Hitler just shows up and he is exactly what you think of in your mind. But again, that was just in the Wired virtual world. It wasn't really like that. That wasn't really Lane. So
you may tell what I believe that Lane is like. Watching Lane is like hearing a joke that you don't get the first time. And you're just kind of sitting there, what?
Huh? What?
Yeah. And then once you finally understand the joke, then you're like, oh, I get it now. Like, it doesn't make it bad, but now you're like, oh, I get the joke now. And I feel like it's just, I just feel like, me personally, I need to just rewatch it again, because I think I would enjoy it and I would understand a whole lot more.
Well, what tells me that I don't like it is that we did rewatch it a couple of times. And on all the times, I almost fell asleep, because I just don't, it's just not that good to me.
I know one thing, when you go into this anime, you gotta put your thinking cap on, put your Sherlock pipe in your mouth, and get ready to figure this out for real.
Yeah, because I think at the other thing that they showed at the end was her being by herself, and they said like multiple things that would lead you to believe that Lane is God, which is Lane is everywhere at all times, and even what Lane said at the end. So I think the part that you were speaking on is that she was alone where she was at because no one remembers her. She doesn't have any friends. She doesn't have any obligations.
She hasn't aged. She was still little.
Well, before that, just when she was all alone.
Yeah.
And basically talking to herself, she decided to insert herself into the real world again, except it was in the future. So Alice was grown and married. I don't know who the guy was. He kind of looked like that teacher that she had that crush on, but there's no way to actually prove that. She made the little joke about him being the student.
Yeah.
So I would assume that was the teacher that she had the crush on while they were in school. So she was an adult, and Alice kind of recognized her, but didn't at the same time. So she went up and talked to Lane, and they introduced themselves. And Lane said, "We can see each other all the time, basically because I can do whatever I want to do, and you know I'm all over the place." The other part that would lead you to believe that she is God, as we would perceive it, is when she spoke to her dad at the end, and she said she felt like she loves everyone. So sounds like a God to me, I guess.
You want me to tell you something else that's interesting? Mm-hmm. You remember the one professor guy, the guy who killed himself, who apparently made, who kind of jump-started all this stuff off, mm-hmm. right?
You talking about Colonel Sanders? Or are you talking about the younger dude?
Younger dude, not Colonel Sanders. Because I was like, I remember the Colonel, but he died earlier, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is it? So the other dude, the younger one, the one with the long hair and stuff. So I guess that's what kind of throws me off, but it kind of gives me a point to where he was dead, but yet he was able to show up, and he was like, he claimed himself as the God of the Wired.
Right.
And we know that Lane, I guess, exists in the real world, but yet she was able to interact with him. So what, she already broke the barrier at that time, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then she started proving to him that he's not really the God of that universe or so.
Right, because that universe didn't exist mm-hmm. until it was created, and you know, that was part of her questioning to him. It's like, well, who created you then? Or who gave you this power? So I don't know. I liked it, but like I said, it is very confusing.
Like I said, at first it was very boring to me, you know, starting from the first episode going up. But then the more and more I saw it, I was like, oh, I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to understand. Oh, never mind. But you know, hey, it was
what?
I just got, yeah, exactly. What for real? Like, what the what? So I just feel like I just need to watch it some more. And I feel like I'll probably pick some things up because I had so many theories, especially with the power lines.
Well, and I think this just came along right at least for me, the right time, because when I was first introduced to anime outside of what comes on TV, you know, Digimon, Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, whatever, this is what you got most of the time. Mm-hmm. Cliffhangers, confusion, mystery. At the end, they're not telling you exactly what happened, and mm-hmm. it's left open for debate.
Interpretation.
Things like Neon Genesis.
Oh,
the
yeah.
endings of Neon Genesis, Lanes, like that kind of
Cowboy
stuff.
Cowboy Bebop, did you mention that?
No, I didn't say Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say that.
So things like that, and that what draws me in, just to get me trying to think, one, let me try to figure out what was going on, and then on top of that, if I can't figure it out, well, let me try to figure out what the creator was thinking when they did A, B, and C.
You know what they need to do? Make some commentaries.
Yeah, but that kind of, that ends it, though. Like, it's over.
Oh, I guess people won't be so intrigued in it, huh?
Right. There will be no more conversation. There's no more debate. There's no more theories, my theory versus yours. It's over at that point. And the whole point of them making something like that is probably to spark the debate and get people to talk about it and keep talking about it.
That would make sense. That would make sense. Or if they want to do some more future stuff, they have something to work off of.
Yeah.
Because the mystery hasn't been told.
So we're going to go around the table real quick. Should people watch this anime, Mike B?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's three yeses. Okay. So I guess it has our ANX Gamecast seal of approval. I don't have a sound effect for that, so we're just going to.
I was going to do like a yeah for you. Yeah.
What?
Why don't you do the thing from the, what it's called? Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
You knew what I was talking about. The whatever of the North Star.
Let's move it. That's okay. All right.
Bonus round.
Let's get into our bonus round. DC versus Marvel. So I believe it was on maybe episode 5, podcast number 5, where we started. I think it's when we had our Injustice 2 full review. Mm-hmm. And I think that sparked some conversation about DC versus Marvel, which one is better. So we're here now to finish the debate.
Okay.
So, Mike, just generally speaking, you think DC is better than Marvel?
I will say that DC has a lot to offer, and it kind of comes out just a little bit better.
So, okay, I'm going to ask it one more time because uh-huh. you're kind of dancing around the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that DC is better than Marvel.
Well, what I'm saying is, Marvel ain't as good as DC. You know, I don't
yes understand.
No.
I don't understand what's happening here. Is DC, in your opinion, better than Marvel?
Yes.
Okay. I'm by saying, what do you think? Just generally speaking.
Just based on the things that I've seen so far, I tend to like Marvel better.
Right. So, I'm in the same ballpark here. And it's not even that I think Marvel is better. Which it is, and I do think that, but it's a situation where I dislike DC. I don't like DC at all.
Oh,
so man. I think it's a little bit different. I think you think DC is better, but you still like Marvel, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
See, I don't like DC at all, and I think that's where the debate came in. So what you got for me, Mike? If DC is better, why is it better? What's better about it?
Now, this is what I would say.
Do we need to drug test you before we start the debate?
You probably do, but we're not going to do that.
Okay.
So what happened? Okay, so I'm not going to lie. At first, I started off as a Marvel fan. I liked a lot of Marvel stuff. You know, I liked a little bit of DC, but then over time, I just felt like DC just had more to offer to me, like in their characters and stuff. So, you know, one thing I have to say is like, you know, the comic books, I love the comics. You know, getting into the comics, it was just amazing. Just reading all about the different type characters. I believe I got a DC encyclopedia, and I was just reading the book, and I was just reading about all these different types of characters, their abilities, their origins, and I was like, this is some pretty good stuff right here.
But hold on, let me stop you right there, because mm-hmm. same. I was introduced into anime cartoon world, you know, through Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going from Marvel to DC, I went from Marvel to manga to anime. So I just went the whole nother direction.
You took some other kind of route.
Yeah, I took, yeah, because it's like I got this comic book, which is cool, but look at this manga. Like, to me, it's even better, even though it's not in color. So I just went that route and then went to the anime route. As far as an encyclopedia, I got a Marvel encyclopedia upstairs if you want to go read it and read origins and powers and backstory and all that kind of good stuff. It's right upstairs in the retro game room.
Yeah,
if you want to check it out,
I mean, that's cool and all, but
I'm pretty sure it has the same information.
You want me to tell you the thing about it? Like, Marvel back in the day was so cool. I mean, they had so much awesome stuff, but it's like what kind of killed it for me were two things.
Okay, here
their
we go.
Their comics and their movies.
But when did the comics kill it for you?
Recently, I would say in 2015 and up.
because you do realize that is a dying genre, and that generally speaking, most people don't care about comic books anymore.
If we go ahead and just say, like, okay, it is a dying genre or whatever, mm-hmm. the comic books are the basis or the base on what creates the stories that people love and adore. If it wasn't for the comics,
I disagree.
What could you work off of? Because, like, right now, I will say this right here. Right now, what is it? Right now, we know that Marvel is big on their movies. Like their movie game right now, it's like right. it's on point right now.
Right,
you know, I can't really debate on that. But my thing is though is that they're so on point with it to where they're kind of forgetting like where their stories really came from,
but
and like what made them great.
But this is why I disagree. You said the stories that people this is why people love and adore them, the characters and the stories and what. A perfect example, Unbiased Ann. You like Wolverine.
Yes.
Logan. Do you like that because of some comic book you read?
No.
Or do you like it just based off the movie that you watched?
Movie.
So.
But here's my argument right here, though. So, yeah, you say you like Logan, but because the reason why you like him is because somebody came up with that idea in a comic and they put it on paper. And then they basically saw that people liked that character from the ratings that he got from the comic, and eventually they put them into the movies.
Well, I would disagree with that too. I don't think Wolverine became popular until the X-Men. Not popular. He was popular before, but I don't think he was anybody's favorite character until the X-Men movies came out.
But I get what you're saying. Like, the comic book is the base of everything. Somebody wrote the comic book, somebody developed these stories, but for newer generation, whatever, somebody put it together cinematically, and that's what is pulling people in. I mean, I feel like I get what, you know what I mean? Like, you have a point, yes, the comic book started it, but the movies are probably what's really pulling people in, especially if you're not a comic book fan.
Right. In my personal opinion, I don't feel any type of way about going out on a limb and saying if it were not for the movies, the whole comic book genre in general would probably be all the way dead by now. The movies are the only thing keeping the comic books alive.
My main thing is you want to give credit to where credit is due. And that's another problem I have with Marvel. Like I said, I like their movies. They're cool. You know, even though I like Thor Ragnarok, but I didn't really fundamentally agree with it because that wasn't really Thor. But my thing is, though, is like, let's say, like, okay, they do focus on the movies and they just get rid of the comics. Where are they going to get these good ideas and stories from? What are the movie producers going to work off of to know how to truly bring out this character? Because eventually they're going to start making up all kind of wild, crazy stories to where it's like, wait a minute. Like, it's going to start becoming like Thor Ragnarok, where it's like, wait a minute. That's not how the character really is. He's not a joking type character. He's a more serious, more Norse. He's a Norse god. That's not how he's supposed to be, you know.
But at the same time, you say that. However, the comic books themselves have 5, 10, 15 different versions of all the heroes also. So this is just one other different version, but people tend to have a problem with that because it's not like their version in their comic book that they read, even though there's like 15 different Batman comic books, but no one's complaining about how Batman is sensitive and soft in this one, but in this one he's real dark, and in this one here, you know.
Well, no, here's another point about it too. Like, the Marvel movies are kind of hurting their own industry when it comes to like the comics itself, because Marvel has like all these different variations. Now they have a lot of variations of comics and a whole bunch of different variations of people. Like, they have like their original series. They have like their legacy. They have like the actual movie characters. So even if people wanted to really get into the characters themselves to learn more about them and what they're about, like they want to like they're so into this character, like, man, I can't wait for another movie. I want to see. They don't know really what to pick, because it's like, do I pick the movie version? Do I pick the original version? it's kind of hurting their own industry when it comes to
but,
that.
But you're saying it's hurting an industry. It's hurting an industry that's already dead or dying.
Yeah, but that's so still something like that they do.
And I don't think it's because of them. It's just the nature of the beast. The whole digital comic and manga thing didn't catch on. It was terrible. Like, I even tried to get into it. I remember when it first was released for the Sony PSP. And I was like, okay, I can get comic books on here, manga on here within an application. And it just wasn't the same. And it wasn't a good experience. But it's not just comic books. It's print media all over the world. I mean, magazines and newspapers and all this other stuff is just going away.
Well, I don't think people really care if the movie is in line with the comic book, because I don't think they know whether it is or isn't, because people don't read comic books. You have a generation, older generation, that grew up on comic books and may still be truly loyal, but all these newer, younger kids, they don't know it. And I loved Thor of Ragnarok. And I have no idea what Thor is really like. And I love the first original Batman. But people were like, that's not really how he was. He was really dark. And I'm like, well, I don't care. I like the movie. I mean, this is coming from somebody that has no background on comic books.
But like I said, if it weren't for the comic book, you wouldn't have nobody that you would like.
No. And I totally agree with you on that. That's it for today, guys. Thanks for listening to ANX Gamecast. Make sure to check out part 2 of this episode to hear our Marvel versus DC debate. See you next time.